Abba, we thank you for what you have done. Father, we worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we worship you in the beauty of holiness. Father, we submit our minds. We submit our hearts. We submit our souls unto you, Father, working us your will and to do your pleasure. We submit right now, Father. Raise us, Abba. Father us into purpose. Father us into destiny. Father us into the life of Christ. Father, we give you permission right now, Father. Open our hearts, Father. Give us understanding, Father. We ask for impartations. How many of y'all agree with that? We ask for impartations, Father. We ask for more of you, Father. You created us, Father. You predestined us. You purposed us, Father. This is your plan, Father. So we align with you. And we say thank you, Father, for your son, Father. Thank you for the cross, Father. Thank you for the blood, Father. Thank you, Father, for seating us in heavenly places, Father. So we thank you for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to get into it. So we're in a new series. We are now in our relationship pillar. Okay, for all who don't know, these are our teaching pillars. We do 3 months with the relationship, 3 months with the kingdom, 3 months with the church, and then 3 months with the ministry. So it covers us for a whole year. So this is our first message and series of the relationship pillar. And so I'm going to teach from the title of The Revelation of Sonship. And this is a 5-part series. And I'm just going to do part 1, part 2, part 3, part 4, and part 5. So I don't have a title. I guess part 1 is the title. Amen. And so I'm going to give you my reasoning behind calling it the revelation. So this is a revelation. Revelation is more than doctrine. Okay, doctrine is entailed inside of revelation, but sonship is more than a doctrine. Okay, it's more than a teaching. It is what we literally build the body of Christ off of. Okay, it is the main source of teaching that the body of Christ needs to hear. It's more than a doctrine. Okay, it's more than just a teaching. Okay, this is foundational. The only reason why the Bible exists is because God just wants to be our Father. All right, that's the beginning part. That's the foundational part. All right, when we get to the end of the results of what he wants to actually happen, we are mature children dominating in the planet. But it first starts with sonship. All right? It first starts with sonship. It first starts with him being our Father, us understanding that. I told you guys Thursday that this is this is important. And one of the reasons why it's important is because the mission is to dominate. So if the mission is to dominate, then that means we need to have confidence in that. Amen. He wants us with confidence. He don't want us, you know, out here walking around in the world and then our knees shaking, we scared of everything. No. He said, fear not, because I'm with you. All right? And you have to hear that. You have to hear that. He said, fear not, because I'm with you. And so if we're going to dominate the planet, we have to have confidence first in who we are. And what religion does is religion makes you confident in Jesus. And all your confidence is in Jesus, but you don't have any confidence in who he said you are. Amen. And the Bible tells us to conform to the image of his son. Amen. Amen. And so this is about the revelation of sonship. Now, revelation is the disclosure of truth. All right. Some stuff I'm going to brushstroke over because this is a whole series. Okay. So I'm not going to dive deep in. Right now, but revelation is a disclosure of truth. It is a disclosure of divine instructions. Okay, it is revealing things that are not known. All right, it is manifesting things, making things appear, seeing and hearing things that actually are right there in Scripture. All right, there's a lot of things in Scripture that we can't see. That's why the Bible says you need a teacher. Okay, now, there's 4 parts of revelation I want you to understand. The first is that revelation is eternal context. Okay, it's an eternal context. When I say eternal, meaning that this conversation is not coming from time and space. This is not a conversation that started in earth. It started in heaven. It started outside the realm of time and space in eternity where God is. This is where he made the decision. So even in that, there's, I want you to understand that revelation is one, it's bottomless. Okay, so you never run out of revelation. So if you have a revelation of anything in scripture, it's never ending. It never stops revealing information. All right. Secondly, is eternal context reveals the origin. Where is it coming from? All right. This message is coming from heaven. It's not coming from earth. Our origin is not earth. Our origin is heaven. We are spirits that have a soul, but we live in this body. We function in earth because of the mission and the assignment that the Father has us here doing. All right. But I told him this Thursday that if you understand spiritual things, you must know that if you are born again and you are a child of God, that while your flesh is here, your spirit is in another realm. Okay, this is why he says when you're born again, you now see the kingdom. You see another realm. You start to live from another realm. So while our flesh is here on earth, the Bible says we're seated in heavenly places. Far above every rule, authority, and power. So not only are we seated in heavenly places, but we're seated in a position, Serena, where we're far above everything that is below Abba. So we're above angels. We're above the devil. That's why Jesus said he gave us power and authority. We just tell him, come out. The demon seen Jesus, he told him, shut up. Don't tell nobody who I am. That's authority. That ain't power. Power is what you use when you have to enforce a thing. He said, shut up. They said, you about to cast us out. They said, can we go into the pigs? They asked where they could go. This is the lineage you come from. Amen. This is the lineage you come from. You command things. We were talking about it on Thursday, and we don't pray for healing. We command healing. Amen. Yeah. We don't pray for spirits to come out. Could you please come out in the name of Jesus? Come on out. Come on out. No. Come out. Come on. Okay, you don't want to come out now? Power. Fire. Amen. Come on. When you're dealing with the eternal context, you have to understand that one is bottomless. Two, that there's an origin. Three, you have to understand that this is what a precept is. Please stop that or cut it off. You have to understand what a precept is. Okay, a precept is the Father's thoughts before he opens his mouth. Okay, precepts become concepts. Before it's a concept, it must be a precept. All right, before you say anything, you thought about that first. That's a precept. And so we have to understand not only the origin, but we have to understand the Father's plan. Okay, we have to understand his plan. Before he opened his mouth, before he said, let there be light, he had a whole plan. The Bible says he knows the end of a thing before the beginning. So he created you, he knew your ending. And then he started you at the beginning and said, now seek me. So you could find your story. And so your life is literally a movie in which it's just you and the Father. Amen. It's literally just a movie, and it's just you and the Father. Your job is to seek him every day so that you won't get off script. Amen. But when you're in religion, what happens is the Spirit doesn't parent you. Amen. That's the difference between sonship and religion, is that when you're talking about sonship, the Spirit parents us. When you're in religion, you just come to church, you know Jesus, you hope one day you make it into heaven. And so you try to do good things while you're here, but you don't hit the assignment. Okay? So you have to understand, revelation gives us, from an eternal context, the precepts of the Father. We know his plan. He said, I know the plan I have for you. Thoughts of peace and not evil to give you an expected end. All right? And then the fourth one is the storyline. You have to understand the storyline of scripture. He didn't put us here to go to heaven. Actually, when we die, the Bible says in Revelation 21, go read it, okay, he said that there's a new heaven and a new earth. He said the old heaven and the old earth passed away. He said then Jerusalem came out of heaven and on a new earth. So when it's all said and done, say, we right back on earth. We right back on earth because that's his mission. Because we can't rule and reign and have authority and power in heaven. Amen. We can't have authority and power where he rule.
Amen.
So there's no purpose of giving us authority and power and then bringing us to him. Bringing us to heaven. He wants us to forever rule. He wants us to reign. So the Bible lets us know that there's a new earth and a new heaven. Why? Because his plan is his plan. So the second thing that Revelation does is it gives us insight into the heart of the Father. It gives us insight into the heart of the Father and the heart of Christ. The third thing it does is it reveals hidden things. The Bible says that our life is that we are dead, meaning you died spiritually to your natural life and you are now a spiritual being. He says you are now dead and your life is hid in Christ. So whoever you think you are in the natural, that's not who you really are. Until you find out who you are spiritually, you have no idea who you are. Until you understand that God is your Father and you begin to walk in that path, you have no idea who you are. You're living a false life. You're living a fake life. Until you find out who he says you are, until you allow him to parent you, you have no idea who you are. Until you can say, Abba. Until you worship, that's why Jesus said worship the Father in spirit and truth. He wants you to find who you are. That's why he didn't tell you to worship him. I'm sorry. Amen. He didn't tell you to worship him because he know you can't find yourself worshiping him. You can only find yourself worshiping the Father. That's what children do. Children worship the Father. Amen. He said pray to the Father because that's how you find yourself. Okay, there's the kingdom of God. Is another thing that needs to be revealed. Mysteries, secrets, sayings, all these things are revealed when you understand Revelation. And the fourth and the last thing is that we get from Revelation is the identity in Abba through Christ, which is truth. So we need to understand our identity, who we are. Okay? I say this often, that the church does not have a power issue. We don't have an authority issue. We have an identity issue. Amen. Satan does not want you to know who you are. He's fearful of you knowing who you are. Amen. He wants to keep you steeped in religion. Or he wants to keep you outside the church. Amen. He wants to keep you fighting the preacher. He wants to keep you seeing, looking at people in the church and saying they're hypocrites. Where are they not hypocrites? Where can we go on earth and they are not hypocrites? Okay? So, this is why we call it revelation, okay? Because there's an eternal context. There's insight into the Father's heart, and then it reveals things that are hidden from you. And then it reveals our identity through Christ. Now, sonship. Sonship is the ultimate expression of the relationship of the Father with the children and the children with the Father. That's all this is. All sonship is. Sonship expresses the relationship between us and God as our Father. And the relationship with him as our Father and us as his children. It puts things in proper perspective to let us know where we stand in his ultimate plan. Okay, now, when we're talking about sonship, we're talking about the state of being like him. The Bible said he created us in his image and after his likeness. Okay, we're talking about the condition under the proper covenant, which is the relationship. And we're talking about the quality of us as his children, as those who have his DNA. So sonship reveals, I'll go over it again. So sonship is the ultimate expression of the relationship that we have with our Father. It's a teaching and it gives you an understanding of the relationship that we have with him. Who he said we are in him matters. Amen. Okay, this is how you have to see yourself. You can't see yourself according to how the world sees you. Even not your community. Not even the color of your skin. You're not black. You black for a moment. You black for a moment. You may be black for 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, but then eternally you a spirit. Amen. Eternally, you never die. So if you spend 50 years on earth as either white, black, Chinese, whatever, okay, now you live eternally as God's child. So it's the quality of those who have his DNA. So we have his inherent features. We have his essential character. The Bible said he created us in his image and then after his likeness. Likeness speaks to that we are spirit beings just like him. God is a spirit. So those who worship him must worship him in spirit. That's why he said you have to worship him in spirit and in truth. The only way you can worship him in spirit is that you have to understand you are like him. Amen. You can't worship him if you don't know that you're one with him. So he said he created us in his image. Image speaks to the soul. And the thing that happened in the Old Testament, or the thing that could not take place in the Old Testament, is the Holy Spirit could not cultivate their souls. Why? Because they were not children of God. So what the Holy Spirit does for us in the New Testament, it could not do in the Old Testament, simply because of the new birth. Amen? Amen. Now, it's four things that bring life to the revelation of sonship. The first thing is familiar language, family language. Okay? Familiar language, family language of the New Testament. So there's over 1,600 verses in the New Testament that speaks about family and the family of God. And there's over 1,700 words associated with family. So when I say that, I'm talking about sons, son, daughter, daughters, children, child, family, household, adoption, born again. We ain't talking about husband. We ain't saying wife. Okay? We just talking about, I didn't say orphan. Over 1,700 words. This is in the New Testament. We ain't talking about the Old Testament, where they had the patriarch, and Adam was a type and shadow of sonship. We're just talking about in the New Testament, over 1,600 verses that speaks to the family language, and over 1,700 words associated with family. Secondly, is the second thing that brings to life the revelation of sonship is that sonship is the proof of lordship. Sonship is the proof of lordship. The whole reason why we can say Jesus is our Lord is because we're conforming to his image. Amen. If we're not conforming to his image, then that's just talk. Jesus is Lord. He's the thing we conform to. The Bible says, Jesus said, learn of me. Because I'm meek and I'm lowly of heart. What does Christian mean? I'm like Christ. So if I'm like Christ, I do what Christ does. And so his ministry consists of two things. It consists of what he said and what he did. Amen. He said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. Guess what? That's the mind of Christ. He said, I don't judge anything until my Father first tell me. Guess what? That's the mind of Christ. You don't make no judgments until that is where you're learning. Amen. He said, learn of me because I'm meek and I'm lowly of heart. Well, what do you mean, you meek and lowly of heart? I only do what the Father tells me to do. I don't have a thought process. Anything I think, I take to him and say, Father, is this a correct thought? I love it when my son, when he comes to me and say, Dad, I was thinking this, but I wanted to come to you. I love that. He's looking for an elevated thought process. The word says, Isaiah said, that our thoughts and our ways are far from his ways. Amen. Far. As far as the heaven is from the earth. So which means, now, that's not just talking about the sky, because the sky is a representation of what heaven is. That's talking about our thoughts and his thoughts. The distance is time and space and eternity. He thinks eternally. We think about time and space. We think about what we need today. He's already thought about what you're going to need 30 years from now, 40 years from now. That's already sealed. He was thinking eternally. He said, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. He knew it. So he has an eternal thought process. The third thing is growth metrics. If not sonship, how do we know we're growing? How do we know that we are growing except for sonship? So give me the five stages of sonship up here. So these are the five stages. Now you see a sixth one there. Brethos, nepios, pation, technon, neniskos, weos. Now these are Greek terms in the Bible. And if you don't study it properly, you glance right over this. I'm going to show you, okay? I'm going to get kind of nerdy today. Y'all cool with that?
Amen.
All right. Because it's hard for us to say that we study the scriptures and we don't understand how biblical languages function. Okay? Which is the fourth thing. Is what brings to life the revelation of sonship is when we understand how biblical languages function. Okay? We have to understand that the Bible is a translation. All right? And some of it is a translation and some of it is a transliteration. All right, I got some definitions for you. I didn't put nothing up there this time, but I will as the series goes on. Now, a transliteration involves converting text from one writing system to another. Okay, for example, if I wrote Tokyo, how do you spell Tokyo? All right, now, if I wrote Tokyo on a piece of paper, that is how we see it in America. It has been transliterated from where? Japan. If Tokyo was written in Japan, it would look nothing like that. Why? Because it was translated from a different alphabet system. Not to keep the alphabet system, but to reveal what it says. All right? Which is different from translation, because translation involves converting the meaning of words and phrases from a source language to a target language. So even when we talk about Yeshua and Isus, and Jesus. So Jesus is not a transliteration from Hebrew. It's a translation from Greek. Jesus is a transliteration from Hebrew. So Yeshua was transliterated into Isus, which is Jesus in Greek. And then it was translated to Jesus from Greek. All right? But when we're talking about a translation, we're converting the meaning of words and phrases. Amen. The meaning of the word and the phrase from a source language to a target language. So we're bringing something from Greek and we're bringing it into English. All right, American English. American English. Okay, the Bible says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Watch this. If it was not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place, then where I am, you will be also. Now, that is not an American English translation. When you look at the American English translation, it doesn't say in my Father's house, there are many mansions. It says dwelling places. Now, it says that because of the King James Version was written from British English. Now, what they call a dwelling place, a place to live, they had spackle, they had wood, okay? They had several different type of things in which they built homes with. But the permanent place that they built homes from was brick, which is mason, is which I get the word mansion. So the reason why it says mansion, because when they say mansion, they're talking about a brick house, which is a permanent dwelling place versus a house that is made out of wood. So he was saying, in my Father's house, or in my Father's family, there's room for you. That's what he was saying, if it was translated correctly to American English, from what they meant in Greek. So we're reading a British American translation in America in which they translated it from Greek. But if we translate it from Greek to the American, it simply lets us know that in my father's family, there's a place for you. He said, I go to prepare a place that where I am, you will be also. Where did he go? He went to the right hand of the Father. Then in Ephesians, it told us that he raised us up, made us alive, and seated us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So he went to his Father to prepare a place so that you can live and flow and function from that realm. It did not mean that when you die, there's a mansion waiting for you in heaven. I'm sorry if I messed your religion up. Because I don't want you to think that it's a mansion. It might be a mansion up there, but that's just not what the scripture's saying. That's a terrible translation of what the scripture's saying. So when you're talking about a translation, you're also talking about we are aiming to convey the same meaning as the original word. It also requires us to understand not just words, but the context of the word, the circumstances surrounding it, the belief systems, the cultural nuances, and grammar. Puts an entire different meaning to the scripture that says study to show yourself approved. So if you're going to study to show yourself approved, you got to understand what the Hebrew is saying and what the Greek is saying. You can't just read it, look, see it, and then bring it into an American culture. Which in America, we don't have a culture. If you're in New York, come on, it's a whole nother conversation. If you're in California, if you're from the Midwest, we don't have a culture in America. So depending where you go in America, words mean. So there's a thing called linguistics. Linguistics is just a study of human language, okay? And it has several subfields. One is phonetics, phonology, morphology, we'll get into that, syntax, semantics, and then there's pragmatics. We're just going to talk about pragmatics on today, okay? Now, pragmatics is how language is used in a particular context. And it expresses the way in which languages are used to make things happen, okay? You can go back and study. Now, in pragmatics, there are several different contexts in which you have to see things from. One is a linguistic context. The other is a physical context, and the other is a social context. Now, in a linguistic context, you have to understand that words exist in a larger context, and they're not in isolation. So if I'm reading a sentence, those words connect to another word that connects to another idea that connects to another thought. So I'm reading the scripture. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Watch this. Let this mind be in you. What is this? We got to explore now. Let this mind be in you. What? We got to explore. This does not stand alone. It doesn't even give us an accurate information. Let this mind be in you, which was. Now, was is a Lincoln verb that what connects us to the past. So it speaks of a whole story that there's somewhere in that Bible, in that book, in which I can find this mind. So that's a linguistic context. So you just can't read and pass over words. Every word in the Bible means something in context. Let this mind be in you. What mind are you talking about? The Bible says, as Jesus is, so are we in this present world. As Jesus is. Not how he walked on earth. As Jesus is, sitting at the right hand of the Father. As he is, so are you. Not as he was. Then, Another example. Jesus said, and this is a blended context because it deals with not only linguistics, but physical and social context. Jesus said, if you don't believe that I am he, you would die in your sins. They're looking like, what you mean? What you mean? If you don't believe that I am he. We read it, gloss over it, and we think it's deep when we say it. That word he is expressing that he's deity. It's capitalized. If we take the American culture perspective, it just means he's a boy. But not in their belief system. He says, if you do not believe that I am he, that I am a deity, that the Father sent me, if you don't believe who I am spiritually, you're going to die in your sins. Not if you believe that I am Mary's son, and Joseph my stepdaddy, and James my brother, and I'm from Nazareth. He said, if you don't believe that I am he, if you don't get to understanding that I came from eternity, if you don't get to understanding that I am Yeshua in the flesh, if you don't get that understanding, he said, you're going to die in your sins. Or when the Bible says, and he, the Holy Spirit. Because we're in America, we made he a boy, a man, a person. No, he's speaking to deity. When this deity comes, which means that it is separate from human. It doesn't need human. Or when the Bible says that if we come to God, we must believe that he is. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, watch this. He is means that he exists. But that he exists as God, our Father. And this expression is saying that he's an entity. And he's not a deity. Now, the difference between an entity and a deity is that an entity is self-preserved. They have no beginning and no end. They have no starting point. So when Jesus said it, he was speaking of him being a deity, because deities come from entities. But the Father is the only entity. He's the only self-existing spirit. Jesus came from him. That's what makes him his son. And the Holy Spirit came from him. That's why he said, I will pour out my spirit. So we read stuff and then we turn it into, we give it an American understanding. And then we become religious. And the ones who are scholars in the natural destroy an eternal context. Everything the Father's trying to get us to do in Scripture is to become spirits and spiritual. Like him. Amen? So now, let's deal with physical context. Now, physical context reveals location. And it's different now. And you have to understand, Jerusalem is in the Judean mountains. So in Scripture, they say go up. It's slang for we going to Jerusalem. Or they say come down. It's actually a verb that's slang for we leaving Jerusalem. Location. Versus when Jesus says that I go to my Father. Hold on. Where you going? Around the corner? Past them two bushes? And then Joseph's house? No. I'm leaving time and space now. Or he said he sent the Holy Spirit. God can send a man who's in earth, and we understand that. God sent me. But he sent the Holy Spirit, which you can't see. And he came from eternity. That's physical context. When the Bible says to seek and save that which was lost, what is that? See how it makes you investigate? That is the kingdom. That is sonship. That is the relationship. That is the covenant. So he's bringing you to a spiritual place. Am I teaching?
Amen.
Y'all get it?
Amen.
Then there's my favorite, and which is the thing that we'll explain sonship more off of, is social context. Now, social context deals with the setting within society, the trends, the cultural norms. Okay? Paul told the church, he said, it's not good for a man to have long hair. People don't study. They destroy this. So they take a brother who has long hair, and then the church will make him feel like he's in sin, in which that was cultural context. And so in ancient Greece, it's actually masculine for men to have hair. It's actually long hair in ancient Greece represents masculinity. But in their culture, if the hair passed the shoulder, it was a sign of either being feminine or you were oppressed or depressed. So Paul was telling them, don't let your hair get past your shoulders. We'll take that in America and we'll destroy a whole relationship with the father over hair. But watch this. What is considered long? What's considered long? Zay hair could be too long. What's considered long? Y'all hair. Is that too long? So we don't have an American standard on what long hair is. But we would destroy someone over it. Social context. We read the scripture and then we brought it into American culture. And we started a religion with it. Another thing is gender. In our culture, we say waiter or waitress. We say actor or actress. But watch this. I can say, how you guys doing? And who am I talking to? Everybody. Nowadays, we say, what's up, bro? Who am I talking to? Everybody. Now, depending where you go. If you would have said that 20 years ago, it has to be a man. But that's how linguistics change. I'm saying all this for a reason. Because it's about the way people believe. Even in scripture, the Greek word parezo, and when the Bible talks about, the Greek word parezo means to test or to tempt. All right? Same word, parezo, for test and for tempt. But when we're talking about Satan, it's tempt. When we're talking about God, it's test. Because God never tempts a man. Same word, same Greek word, but the meaning is different depending on who you're talking about. And this is how the Greeks do it. Same thing with sonship. The reason why we're bringing this out is because we say child and children and son. That's not how they talk. When we deal with sonship and we deal with children, we talk by age. How old is your child? Child never gives us the age. Amen. Son never gives us the age. Come on. Daughter never gives us the age. But in Greek, it does. Now, you have to understand the Bible says that in the fullness of time, he sent his son, born of a woman. Now, that phrase in the fullness of time means that everything that was going on in that society coincides with why he sent him at that time. The way they were doing things in the kingdom. Prior to that, what they were doing, Ken, was they would go and conquer a land and they would kill all the people and burn the land. So he didn't bring Jesus at that time because it didn't coincide with what heaven was doing. But what the Romans did was the Romans would go conquer a place, they. And when they go conquer a place, they wouldn't kill the people. They wouldn't destroy the land. They would bring their government in and set the government up and make the people become them. That's what the Father's plan is with the kingdom. We're not trying to destroy earth. We're trying to colonize it. It's the same thing that happened. I mess with Kirby all the time. Ain't no such thing as Haitian. You're African. Ain't no such thing as Puerto Rican. You're African. Ain't no such thing as Indians. You're African. You're going by who colonized you. Ain't no such thing as Dominican. That's who colonized you. You're African. You're not American. You're African. You're not African-American. You're African. We're going by who colonized us. So in the fullness of time, he sent his son. At that time, Greek was the trade language. Everybody had to learn Greek if you wanted to trade. So that's why the New Testament was written in Greek. Because he wanted to express sonship. So when you see son, when you see sons, when you see children, when you see child, when you see babe, when you see infant, it's one of these words. A brethos is a newborn baby that's either in the belly or just came out. A nepios is an infant that has just been born, but it's older. Amen? Y'all with me? A pateon is a child that has went through brethos and nepios and is older. A technon is a teenager who has went through brethos, nepios, pateon, and now a technon. So when it say children, child, son, it's one of those words. If you skim over it and don't look at it, you miss it. This is social context. This is how they spoke. And it was on purpose because he wanted us to understand that there was developmental stages. Naniskos is a young adult who has went through the other four stages already. Weos is someone who has went through the other five. So you may read children or you may read child, and if you don't investigate and find out what that Greek word is, you never know what it meant. And what we do is we see those words in the Bible and we just read over and we bring it to an American context. I got some scriptures for y'all. Haven't brought a scripture out yet, have I? It's intentional, okay? Because we talk about these two things, and I'm going to get into it, exegesis and eisegesis, okay? Exegesis, don't do it yet. Hold on, go back. Don't give away the game. Okay? Exegesis involves carefully studying the text and its historical, cultural, and literary context to understand the author's intended message. That's exegesis, okay? It considers factors like the original language, the audience, the author's belief, and purpose. When you do eisegesis, this occurs when the reader imposes their own ideas, their own beliefs, their own personal experiences on the text. So, let's walk through it. Okay, now, a brethos is a spiritual newborn babe. A nepios is a spiritual babe learning to trust God and relying on basic principles. Okay, now, this is in the scripture because it explains our spiritual growth pattern in the spirit, dealing with sonship. A pateon is a child that has developed a deeper understanding of God's character and beginning to experience the kingdom of God. A technon is a teenager, someone starting to grasp their identity and taking on more responsibility in the Father's plan. Y'all with me? Amen. Say amen.
All right.
My dad used to do that. My dad used to be teaching. He got it. My dad aggressive. Everything he do, he aggressive. He be whipping eggs. Like, I'm like, what did you? Like, brother, slow down. Come. A naniskos is a young adult, someone who lives according to the word of God, who has overcame challenges and is becoming more like Christ. And a weos is a mature son or daughter, fully representing their heavenly father, living in the fullness of their inheritance and ushering in God's kingdom. So now, these terms suggest a progression from infancy to maturity in the spirit, in faith. It explains the process of learning the Father's ways, developing responsibility for yourself, for your household, for your community, and eventually we becoming a holy nation. Amen. He wants a holy nation. He wants a royal priesthood. Yes. It starts with you dealing with you. And ultimately participating in the Father's mission as mature children. The tasks and the assignments that he has for us, we cannot do it as infants. That's why there's no dominion in America. There's no city in America that the church hasn't locked. We got a lot of churches everywhere. You pass about 50 churches on the way here. No dominion. Still see darkness. Men walk around with two left hips. Babies being molested. Children being kidnapped. You know America, you know Atlanta is the kidnap capital of America? There's no dominion here. Why? Because there's no sons. There's a lot of Christians, a lot of churchgoers, but there's no one here that can take the assignment serious enough to pray, royal priest, holy priest, that lay before him until we become holy for the assignment, maturity. So let's walk through this. So in sonship, we are traveling through spiritual adolescence and being developed. Here, the way we do it is through practicing righteousness. We pray, we fast, we give, we have word time, and we fellowship. To the degree that you do those things, you mature. To the degree that you don't do them, you can't mature. If you do it at a high level, you become mature quick. But if you don't do those five things, you'll never mature in the kingdom. You'll never mature into being a weos. Amen? All right, let's throw some scripture on this. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So that's where we started, right? Amen. We started being born again. Okay, being born again indicates that there's a birth that happened. It don't only indicate there's a birth that happened, but it indicates that there has to be a father. Amen. And a kingdom. He came to seek and save that. 1 Peter 2:2. So after you're born again, it says, as newborn babes, brethos, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Why is this in the Bible? Because he wanted us to grow and walk through sonship. Hebrews 5:13. It says, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe, an infant, a nepios." First Corinthians 3:1. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as to babes in Christ." So he said, because you're a baby, one, in 1 Peter 2:2, it says that you have to grow by the pure milk of the word. You need to understand sonship first. You need to understand who your father is first. Okay, who has a baby and then gives them a job? Who has a baby and then says, go heal somebody? This is a church. Who has a baby and then says, go cast out demons? People come into the church and the first thing you try to do is teach them how to deliver other people. They need to grow by the sincere milk of the word, by the pure milk of the word. They need to learn their father's voice. God loves you. Your father loves you. He so loved you, he sent his son for you. He loves you with an everlasting love. His love never, and he'll never stop loving you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Pure milk by the spirit of adoption. You need to understand you have been accepted. You are loved. You are his beloved. I've given you permission to imitate me. Then he says that he said, how do we know you're a babe? You're unskilled in the word of righteousness. Not only do you know it, you don't live it. First, you got to know it. Then you got to go from knowing to understanding. After you understand it, you can practice it. To the degree you practice it, that's wisdom. Now it's ingrained in you, so you receive revelation. Okay, but then when we got to 1 Corinthians 3:1, he says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people. So there's certain conversations you can't receive. Correction. He said, you can't eat milk. You can't eat meat. There's certain words you can't receive. He said, I could not speak to you. I had a whole message prepared. I had a whole conversation for you. But I looked at your behavior and I saw you were still a babe. You were an infant. So I can't speak to you and give you directions on go conquer, go overtake. I can't put you over nothing. Do you see the scriptures talking to you? He's growing us up. He said, I could not speak to you. I could not talk to you as a spiritual person. He said, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Y'all ready? 1 Corinthians 13:11. Then this is Paul. Paul said, when I was a child. That Greek word child is nepios. Every scripture you just seen me put, it was nepios. Except the first one's brethos. He said, when I was a nepios, he said, when I, okay, bro, he saw himself immature. He saw his own maturity. He saw his own maturity. He said, when I was a child, he said, I, come on, go help me. Say, I. He said, I spoke as a child. I recognized it. He recognized it. He said, when I was a nepios, I spoke as a nepios. I understood as a nepios. I thought as a nepios. He says, but when I became, matured. I went through the stages of sonship. He said, when I became a man, which means he matured into the image of his father. That's what a man is. Come on. That's what a man is. That's what a woman is. A woman is a girl who matured to a woman. He said, but when I became a man, when I became in the image of Christ, he said, the life I now live, I live with faith in the Son of God. When he went to Ephesians, he said, this is what the fivefold ministry is for. He said to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to edify the body. He said, and bring everybody. He said, until we come to the knowledge of the Son of God. Come on. Amen. Why? Because that's our Lord. That's who we conform into. He said, to a full measure of stature which belongs to Christ. He said, so the whole purpose of the fivefold ministry is to walk you through sonship, to bring you to a place. And at the end of that scripture, it says, so you will no longer be children, nepios, tossed to and fro by every doctrine. Am I helping? Amen. Y'all learning something? Amen. He said, when I became a man, watch this, I put away childish things. God didn't make me. I didn't get delivered. I put away childish things. I did that. I did it. I put away childish things. I put away. I made the decision. Nobody made the decision for me. I made that decision. I will no longer be childish. I'm putting these ways away. This is an internal comment. This is intrinsic. This is introspection. This is you looking at you. This is you standing back and saying, ooh, oh, am I still watching that? Am I still listening to that? Am I still talking like that? Am I still not believing like that? He said spoke, understood, and thought. So you know where you got to grow, right? This is the apostle. He said, I did this. It didn't say when I was a child, I spoke like a child, understood like a child, thought like a child, but when I became a man, God put childish things away. Jesus put childish things away. No, I did that. I made my mind up. I'm maturing in this thing. Y'all ready? I'm going to show you why. Galatians 4:1. It says, now I say that the heir means what? Scream it out. What does heir mean? Somebody who has an inheritance. Somebody who has an inheritance. He said, I left you some stuff behind, and it belongs to you. I told you last Sunday, because I didn't tell you last Sunday, it was on a reel I did, and I was looking at the reel. Okay. If the Father leaves you an inheritance, it's because you are his heir. You are his heir. You are his inheritance. Okay? He says, now I say that the heir, the one who has the inheritance, as long as he is a child, nepios, that's not Patreon. That's not technon, that's not neniscos, that's not weos, that's not brethos. He said, as long as he is a child, as long as you keep speaking, thinking, and reasoning like this, as long as you won't put away childish things, as long as you won't pray, you won't fast, you won't read the word, you won't study, he said, does not differ at all from a slave. So I'm God's child, born... Come on, seated in heavenly places. But from heaven, they're measuring me to receive the inheritance. They're looking at how I speak, think, reason. And saying, can I give you the inheritance? I got a bright destiny for you. Ooh, your purpose. Ooh. And this is where people look for prophetic words but don't understand sonship. Did I say something? You're looking for a prophetic word, but then you don't understand sonship. After you get the prophetic word, you got to grow in it. That's why they call most prophets false prophets. They prophesy something to you, it didn't fall to the ground. You didn't grow up to get it. But when you don't understand sonship, you blame the prophet. The Father spoke. He said, this is where you're supposed to be. You're going to be a millionaire, but you didn't understand millionaire involved giving. You didn't understand millionaire involved praying. You didn't understand what you becoming a millionaire, it was prayer time. You didn't understand that when it comes to you being a millionaire, it was servitude. You didn't understand your responsibility in the kingdom. You just saw a million. And now you started to seek and see how you can get the million. And you abandoned and aborted the church. You didn't need the pastor no more. You don't need the prophet no more. You don't need the evangelist no more. You don't need the teacher no more. You don't need any of that. All you need to do is go get your million. And then when it falls to the ground, somebody a false prophet. No. You a nepios. You an infant in the spirit. You a spiritual baby. That's why your prophecy, that's why you keep getting prophetic words, but they never come to pass. And that's us. That's all of us. Okay? That's all of us. Amen? Amen? So he says, does not differ from a slave. So you mean to tell me I'm God's child, I have an inheritance, but my maturity makes me a slave? So it takes me back to Adam. He got to get everything from the ground. You got to get everything from your job. Because what I have for you, you ain't ready. So you got to sweat from your brow to get it. Amen. And because you want to keep it up, you keep missing church. And you ain't growing. You keep missing prayer. You're not growing. You keep bucking leaders. You're not growing. We just here to develop you. The fivefold ministry is there to bring you through sonship to get so you can get purpose and destiny. Anybody who's ever been a part of this church, I'm not worthy to be followed. I'm trying to get you to the Father. Amen. This is proxy. Okay? I'm trying to get you to hear his voice. When I'm done with this, I'm going home to that. I'm going home to my wife. Okay? And I want you to deal with your maturity. When I'm all said and done, I'm going home with my family, with my kids. I'm getting my word. I'm going to pray. Why? Because I know I have an inheritance. Amen. Amen. He said that you differ, does not differ at all from a slave. Watch this. Though he is master of all. Do you know that word master is the same word as the same as Lord? You are Lord. You are a Lord. Jesus is a King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's not the king and we peasants. He's not the Lord and we're peasants. We're just here to serve him. No. He's the King of kings. He set the example for kings to grow into. Conform to my image. Become like me. I'm a king. I'm a Lord. I rule what? My flesh, my mind, my heart. But I can't rule it at a nepio stage. And I'm the master of everything. We own the planet. We own the planet. Can you imagine you own your neighborhood, but you don't know it? You got the smallest house. Because you don't know it. You're not getting any of the stuff that he said belongs to you because of your spiritual maturity. You think it's a degree. You think it's a degree. Go get another one then. And go get another one. After you do all that, he got to open the door. After you get all them degrees, you still got to grow spiritually. Ask my wife. She got 5. God ain't opening doors because she got degrees. He's opening doors based on her honor of her husband. Because if she dishonor her husband, she going to dishonor everybody through the door. A dishonor of her husband is a dishonor of her father. It speaks to how she's raised. Do you know that? Everything you do in public, because you're God's child, it speaks to how he raised you. Everything you do behind closed doors, it speaks to how he has raised you thus far. Or how you have allowed him to. But you got to know, you're the master of all. You own everything. The Bible said all things belong to us. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added. You ain't got to go get it. He said, your gift will make room for you. It'll make room for you. Mature into who he said you are. Function in the gift. And the gift will make room for you. It's going to make room for you. You ain't got to make room. You ain't got to push people out the way. You ain't got to pull people down. You ain't got to talk about nobody. You ain't got to compare. You ain't got to compete. The gift will make room for you, but you have to mature. Amen? Because the ultimate goal is this. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, what word do you think this is? We us. This is fully mature. Proof that you are mature is you're led by the Spirit. You're led by the Spirit. That's the ultimate goal, is we us. So you see how it is when you're an infant. None of them scriptures said you were led by Spirit. None of them scriptures say anything about you being led by the Spirit. But this one said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are. These are. Not only my legitimate children, but my mature children in which I can entrust. The devil told Jesus, said, look at this, all these kingdoms out here. He said, I'll give them to you because they were given to me. How you get them? He got them from Adam. He caught Adam as an infant. Wow. He caught Adam as an infant. That's how you're taking your destiny. That's how you're taking your destiny. He's stealing your destiny with infant behavior. He's stealing your destiny with infant behavior. You won't stop scrolling. You hear him telling you, read. You hear him telling you, study. You hear him telling you, pray. You just shrug it off. Okay, I love you. I still love you, but I can't entrust. I care dearly for you. I ain't lost. No love is lost. You ain't going to hell. You just ain't. I just can't trust you with nothing. I forgive you. Forgiveness ain't a problem. He sent Jesus down on the cross. The expiation was to atone for the sins of man. The propitiation was saying the sacrifice was so acceptable, it curbed his anger. So he don't even get mad at you. You come praying. That's why I said anything you ask me for is either yes or amen. Yes means what? You mature enough to receive it. What amen mean? I hear you. Amen. Amen. I'm glad you know it belongs to you, but we need you to mature into it. I know you want a spouse, but what you going to do with them when you get them? You going to listen? You going to love? Come on. Come on. I can give you anything if you mature into it. Whatever I can't give you is because you're not ready for it. I'm not ready for 1,000 people. I'll be fighting. I'm just being honest with you. This is about maturity. Okay? Now, I guess we got a lot of people out today, okay? So we not this. This ain't all of us. But we're going to be bigger, but it's going to come with what? Maturity. It's going to come with maturity. Everything you want from the Father is going to come with what? Maturity. As many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Y'all ready? Okay, let me go. John 1:12-13. It says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Now, what word do you think this is? Huh? Y'all gonna study, ain't y'all? Technon. Now, look. Give me the stages of sonship again. He said, watch. He said, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become technons of God. Now, of God means it's in the spirit. Watch that. As many as received, he said, you got to be right here. I gave you power to get here. I gave you authority to get here. Not breath, though. I didn't give you power to be there. I didn't give you power to become a nepios. I didn't give you power to become a pation. I gave you power to become to at least arrive at a technon before I could entrust anything to you. Now, let me give you the classifications of a technon. Now, a technon is a learned child. Okay, take me back to John. A technon is a learned child, all right? A technon has an intimate and reciprocal relationship with the Father. It has a bond of love and trust in the Father. Y'all ready? Okay? A technon is a disciple or a pupil that is called children by their teacher, watch this, because their instructions nourish the mind of the student and molds their character. The pupil or disciples are called children of their teachers by their instruction nourishing the minds of the pupil and molding their character. Okay? It means that you're devoted to wisdom and that your soul has been nurtured and molded by wisdom. Now, this is on both accesses, okay? This is on in darkness and in light. So the Bible talks about children of the devil. Children of the devil are those whose thoughts and actions are prompted by the devil. So they reflect their father's character. So you can be a nepios in darkness. The stages of sonship occur in darkness too. That's what iniquity is. Iniquity is a child of the devil who has grown up and fully matured in wickedness. The Bible say they don't just do wrong, they invite people to it. Come on, let's do wrong. Just like a son invite people to church, they outreach. They outreach. They try to bring you into raves. They invite you to pornography. Come on. Sisters, you meet a brother, he say he's a son of God, but he keep touching. You a nepios, bruh. You a nepios. You an infant in the spirit. You still talking about sex? Come on. You're not going to get these daughters. Okay? You're not going to get these daughters. I thought you was the son of God. You still talking about sex? We're not married. My father, come on. You a daughter, right? My father said, this don't happen until we get married. Amen. Why are you talking about it? Because you're an infant. Because your flesh, you're led by your flesh. We was all there. Amen. Come on, we was all there. Amen. Come on, we was all there. All right? That's the process of growth. That's how you know you grow. You no longer do it. Amen. It repulses you now. You abhor it now. Okay? Now it seems stupid. Why? Because you understand spiritual things. You know if I do this, what's not going to happen. You know what door is not going to open. And okay, keep me stop. All right. So even in children of the devil, these are the children, the cursed children, who are exposed to a curse and doomed to God's wrath or penalty. Folks are going to hell because they don't want to be God's child. And they'd rather be the devil's child. They'd rather be Satan's child than God's child. That's the only way you go to hell. Because you don't want God to father you. And if he can't father you, you can't live with him eternally. But in both instances, a technon is a child of the city. Y'all ready? It's a child of the city, which means that at this stage, your actions and your behavior speaks to what your citizenship is. It speaks to where you inhabit. It speaks to what realm you live in. It speaks to what realm you function in. You either function in light or you function in darkness. So the scripture says, but as many as received him, capital H, deity, to them he gave the right to become technons, not nepios, not pation. You don't have to wait till weos. To become children of God to those who believe in his name. Keep going. Verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the will of God. So he says, when you get to this stage, we can clearly see who you're born of. Romans 8, 16 and 17. It says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. What do you think that word is? The Spirit. It said the Spirit bear witness with our spirit That means this is the place and the time where the Holy Spirit start talking. We can hear the Spirit. We can hear. So meaning that if you can hear in the Spirit, you have to hear the Spirit telling you you're a child of God. You know how many people say they hear the Holy Spirit, but they never heard the Holy Spirit say that? Because you got to understand it's a difference between hearing the Holy Spirit and a spirit. There's a difference between hearing the Holy Spirit and a religious spirit. You know Jesus, but you don't know you're a child of God. You know Jesus, but you don't know you're in his image and after his likeness. You don't know you have to mature into sonship. You know Jesus, you know the Holy Spirit. You like praise and worship. You like dancing, but you really don't want an assignment. He can't entrust anything to you. Y'all with me? So he said, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are technons of God. Verse 17, and if technons, come on. Y'all with me? And if technons, then heirs. Now remember, as long as you remain a nepios, you can't see your inheritance. But he says if you are technon, then you are heir. And you are heir of God. And you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So that means there's a place in maturity that you have to arrive to in which you receive the inheritance. The assignment is for you. The blessings is for you. Everything belongs to you. The Bible constantly tells us that. He says, if indeed we suffer with him. That's a mature thing. Y'all know that? You know suffering is a mature thing? The Bible says that the Son learned obedience by the things he suffered. So the scripture says if we suffer with him, which means that there's going to be a transition from natural into spiritual. You got to go through that. Friends going to leave. Family going to leave. Okay. You're going to lose all type of money. Okay. And the reason why, because he's trying to get you off the system. He's trying to get you off that system. You said, I give my life to you. Okay. That means all of you. So there's going to be times in which you suffer, which means you're going to have an internal purpose, son, a daughter, but you're going to have external conflicts. Amen. You're like, why? Well, now I'm a son of God. Why I ain't got no friends? Why my family ain't talking to me all of a sudden? Why I feel isolated? Because children grow up in a household with parents, not with friends. That's why he said he called it the household of faith. You have to grow up in the spirit. And when you're growing up in the spirit, you can't hang around folks that ain't growing up in the spirit. You can't. That's why we come to church. Church is for those who want to grow up in the spirit. So you ask, hey, you want to go to church? Nah, I'm good on that. I'm good on that church stuff. What that's telling you? They don't want to mature. Amen. Because he gave a fivefold ministry to do that. He's never going to do it with just you and him. Amen. Because you can't grow up without some type of conflict. You can't. Come on. You grow up with siblings. You got siblings. God's children are your siblings. I know you don't like them all, but them are your siblings. And if God is love, he's testing to see where your patience at. I know you don't like Zay glasses. What they got to do with anything? I'm glad you smiled. I finally got a smile at that brother. He be sitting there looking at me like, Jason. Is it penetrating? He'd be sitting there locked in. But that's his disposition. He's a stern guy. But he's smiling now. So we got him. But it don't matter. You find every reason to not like somebody so you can't show up. And you swear the Spirit said it. I had somebody told me, God showed me what this church, what these people in this church really feel about me. I said, son, God would never show you that. God would never show you Ken don't like you. That God would never tell you that. God would never tell you, Tanisha don't like you. The Father would never tell you that. He would never tell you that. He don't sow discord. He say, love, get along. Jesus said, look, if your brother got a problem with you, before you go to the altar, get it right with him. Did you hear what I just said?
Amen.
No, no, no. Did you hear what I said? He said, if you find out your brother got a problem with you, you didn't do nothing wrong. It ain't your fault. He has a problem with you. So I know Malika got an issue with me. He said, before you come pray to me, get it right with her. But I ain't do nothing. Malika got a problem with me, but I gotta go. I'm at the maturity. My will, not your will. That's how fathers talk. Come on. That's how fathers talk. Ask my kids. Don't care what you want to do, what I say. I know you feel that. Okay. I'm glad. Let it out. Okay. Now that's wrong. I know they did that to you, but that's your brother. Love him. I know he said, but that's your sister. Love him. Come on. You ain't got no choice but to love. God is. So at the height of your maturity, we need to see love. So he says, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And indeed you suffer with him, you'll be glorified with him. 1 Peter 1:14 says, as obedient children, technons are obedient. Remember what Paul said? When I was a child, I spoke, I thought, I reasoned. I wasn't obedient. That's an indication that you need to grow in the spirit. You're not obedient. You're not obeying his word. It ain't an indication you're on your way to hell. That's not an indication you're on your way to hell. Disobedience is not an indication you're on your way to hell. It's an indicator that you need to mature. When sin did abound, grace abound even much more. So the Father said, when I look at my kids and I see they bad, you know what that mean? Talk to me. You know what that mean? I need to spend more time with you. That's what disobedience means. We need to spend more time together. You see yourself being disobedient to the word, you know what that means? You need to beat me to church. You see you can't obey the word, that means you need to open the prayer call. You see you can't obey his word, that means you need to find the scripture that speaks life into you, and you need to meditate on it day and night until you be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water, bringing forth fruit in your due season if you faint not. That's what disobedience means. Disobedience don't mean I don't want you. It don't mean I don't love you. This is his plan. He signed up to be Abba. It was sin abound, grace abound even more. Why? Because I already gave the sin. I already gave the atonement. I sent my son so you could have eternal life. I gave the sacrifice already. If this ain't the Old Testament. The Old Testament, the covenant was law. If you break that law, I break you. Uriah is walking with David. You know the story I'm about to tell, don't you? You don't know? Who know the story I'm about to tell? Uriah is walking, and they're carrying the Ark of the Covenant. He's walking beside him, and he's carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And the word was that the priesthood is the only one who could touch the Ark of the Covenant. One of the priests stumbled, and he loved God so much that he caught the Ark. But he wasn't a priest. God killed him. Because he was under law. Now we're under grace. You can make mistakes, but understand this. that if you continue in mistakes, you abort your destiny. You abort your inheritance. He's not going to take you out because you made a mistake. He knew when he made the covenant that you were weak. He knew you were frail. He knew you were feeble. Watch this. He knew your bloodline. He knew your bloodline. He knew your mother. He knew your father. He knew your uncles. He knew your grandfather. He knew what's attached to you that you're trying to overcome. He knows that. Before he entered the covenant with you, he knew it. He knew you came from a long line of thugs. Come on. He knew it. Amen. He said, as obedient children, he says, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. Talk to me. Last scripture. 1 John 3 and 10. I want y'all to read that. In this, the children, the technons, not the nepios, not the pation, not the brethos, not the neniskos, not the weos. He said, in this, we know the technons of God. We know those who have fully learned this way. He said, we know the children of God and we know the children of devil. He said, they are manifested. He said, how do you know? They don't practice. One does not practice righteousness. He says, if you don't practice righteousness, he says, you are not my child. He said, you can tell who Satan's child is because they practice satanic things. This is a technon. In this, the children of God and the children of devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness. If you don't pray, you don't fast, you don't read the word, you don't study, you don't fellowship with the saints. If all your friends are sinners, you can't be a son. If all your entertainment is demonic, you can't be a son. If you don't spend time in the word, you can't be his son. You can't be his child. You don't fast. You don't give. You don't do none of the things that the Bible said he did or that Jesus did. Jesus gave his life. Come on. He said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom. This is the mind of Christ. I only do what the Father tell me. That's the mind of Christ. Practice makes perfect, right? Come on. Practice makes perfect. You can't watch porn. You can't practice watching porn to get a wife. You can't say, I want a spouse, and you watching porn. You're practicing the wrong thing. I can't give that to you. You don't have your flesh under control. And this is what you got this same practice every day. What are you training to become? A child of Satan. The Bible, this, I'm reading scripture. This is John, the beloved. This ain't Paul speaking to Gentiles. This is John talking to Jews, those who know God. He said, you got to practice righteousness and you got to love your brother. You got to love the family. You hear people talking about they got a problem with the pastor, they got a problem with the preacher, they got a problem with everybody going in the church. What does that tell you? They're not born of God yet. Or they have not matured to the place where they are learned in the spirit. Because when you're learned in the spirit, that means you have a spiritual intelligence, which means every action, Janasia, every reaction, I understand what happens in the spirit realm. If the Bible says, if you give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall other men give into your bosom, and Jesus said it, what happens when you don't give? What? If he says forgive, and you say you're not, do you know what happens in the spirit realm when you don't forgive? The Bible says it's like you stuck in, it's like you trapped in a cage. The best saying I ever heard was, I'm about to close, the best saying I ever heard was, you not forgiving somebody is like you drinking poison and expecting them to die. Just, you have to have spiritual intelligence to understand. I haven't read my word all week. You ignore responsibility. The thing that you're praying for, watch this. Because if you don't practice righteousness in the wrong way, in the right way, if you don't practice righteousness in the right way, if you don't pray, fast, study, read your word, you will start praying for stuff for you. Prayer is not for you to get stuff. And the stuff you're praying for, Satan can give it to you. Satan can give you anything in earth. He can't give you holiness. He can't give you purity. He can't give you righteousness. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, we done. So, I want to pray with you guys for a second. And I'm going to pray the prayer of humility. Okay? Now, I'm praying the prayer of humility, so I'm going to give you the definition first. Humility is emptying myself out so the Father could be everything in me. It's the ultimate sign that I want to mature. I want what you have for me. Everything I have, I receive from him. Okay? But it comes with you emptying yourself out. You have to empty yourself out. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Empty you out. And then you have to allow him to be everything in you so that he can birth the life and the destiny in you. So as I pray, I want you to pray to Father, whatever is in me.